you can't get the turpentine, neither kerosene, out of a glass container but one way. Now, there's one way you can get it out. Now, look like, now you say, now, that's glass. Yeah, you can get that taste out of it. But you cannot but one way. You can drive you up a stove out there on the ground. And set that stob over, put that jug over there, and like it, like you want it, you want it above the ground, but just above it, and that ground will take every bit of that out of there. You can put anything in there you want to. You can't put water in it. You can't put milk. You can't put juice. You can't put nothing else in there. Vinegar. You can't even put vinegar in it, and you'll taste that turpentine in that vinegar, that kerosene.
How long would you have to leave it before it just...
Overnight. That ground will absolutely, and that's the only thing now that I ever seen would do that. If you ever put kerosene in anything, it was there from that, as far as I know now. And you know, it ain't been too many years since I found out. But I had a brother that learned that. I don't know where he got it. And me and him about to have a round about the jug. Oh, he said, I know how to get tired. Said, be out in the morning. And it did. And I've got tired of it. Been used that method ever since. Or anything else that carries a terrible odor. But now you would see that right there. Looked to me like you could get any scent over that. I don't see how an innocent could get in it. Well, glass is still, would be, I would think, even better that to get a scent off of or out of. But now, I've seen, well, now, like that, I tell you about that man busting that jug of milk in that well. It weren't that well, and that was milk. And as many times as they drove that well dry, and as much water as they used out of it, see, they drove every drop of it out, let it refill up, and they never could stop it. Still was milky, with one jug of milk. So, there's just some things, and kerosene and turpentine was two of them. But now you couldn't have built them. Well, you'd want something bigger square than that right there to build a surf trough out of. Of course, you had to have a pretty good sized trough for a surf trough. But now you dug out your hog trough. And all that you built out of hollow logs, of course, when you split a hollow log open, you had to clean it out, you know, get all, and all, finish digging it out, or whatever you'd want to call it. But then you didn't have to dress it off. It eventually wear off. You built that as light as possible on account of handling. You'd have to move it from place to place, and you just wanted to hit heavy enough that the hog couldn't turn it over. And then, you got it as light as you could. That coat, when you got ready to move it, now when you, if you wanted a job like a bird, get one of those dugout ones, big dugout ones. It took several men to handle one of them. But you take one with a, if you're going to fix it for hog trough, you fix it with one man or two men could handle it, don't you see?
What would you call something, if you're carrying food to the pigs, what would you use?
Well, I'd call it a slop bucket, or a feed bucket. Now, we used what we call a slop bucket. That's what went out of the kitchen. You know, you was asking me the other day, what did you do with the food that was left over from what you cooked for today? Well, back in the old days, you see, you know, I told you, I says, what you cook one day, you eat that day what you cooked that day. Because there wasn't very many of them foods that would last over, especially in summertime. Well, they had what they call a slop bucket, and that's what it was called. That went in there, what food you had left and the scraps.